Welcome to another transforming moment with Pastor Walter Jamie Hawkins. Walter Jamie Hawkins is the senior pastor and founder of Transforming Love Christian Center located in downtown Oakland, California. Already in progress is a word of encouragement. Let's join the moment.
I have somewhat of a heavy heart this morning, not because I'm sad, but because I'm very, very serious today. There's some things that I'm noticing and some things that I'm seeing, and I really, really would admonish you to get in the Word for yourself, to know God for yourself, to turn off the Christianese and the cliches, and back up what you know, supported by Scripture that never contradicts itself. Amen? It's important, because we are living in a time right now where people will speak part of the truth and leave out the rest of the truth. And part of the truth is a lie. Okay? Don't get excited about half the truth. We need the whole truth. So there's a lot of deception going on today. So it's important that we get in our word and that we support each other. Amen? We are living in times right now where we're going to need each other to be strong. Amen? Acts. 8th chapter. Starting at the 5th verse. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. What did he preach? Christ. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was someone or some great one. Amen? Today's title is Simon Comes to Church Too. Yes, he does. The enemy sows tares right alongside the wheat. Amen? We must be wise. So here's where we left off. The church is being persecuted by Saul, and the body of Christ are now running everywhere into different areas. They're no longer concentrated in Jerusalem. They are running because the persecution is so bad. As I said before, Paul, back then, Saul, was persecuting the church to the point where he was pulling mamas out of the house, throwing them in jail, using terrorist tactics to try to get them to renounce God, renounce their faith. Amen? Amen? Doing whatever he can to persecute the church. And so now the church is running into different areas, but everywhere they run, because they were preaching before, they're preaching wherever they go. Amen? So it's not just the apostles that are carrying the gospel message. Stephen, as we saw before, started preaching, but they kill him. And now the church, because of that, is now forced to leave its comfort zone, as we taught. Amen? The church is moving out into areas that Jesus already predicted and also commanded that they would go. Amen? In John, the 4th chapter, he went to Samaria and then said, you are going to go to Samaria. Even to the ends of the earth, but I will be with you. Amen? That's what he promised. Amen? So, he commanded them to go there, and the Bible tells us that it was not just Stephen, but another man that was chosen along with Stephen, and his name is Philip. Philip is also filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's also preaching Christ. Amen? So, fifth verse. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse 6 says, and the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So, what are we seeing here? Philip used both. Okay? Philip preached the word, preached the gospel, preached Jesus Christ, amen, and Philip did miracles, amen. People came out of some stuff, and some stuff came out of people, amen. They were set free, they were delivered. The lame were able to walk, amen. Those who were paralyzed were freed, amen. Those who had uncontrollable demonic shakes were freed, amen. Well, we need the preached word. We need God to move in miraculous ways as well. Amen? But the miracles pointed to Jesus. And not just the miracles themselves. And the miracles certainly were not intended to point to the ones that God was using to do the miracles. I'm going to say that again. The miracles pointed to Jesus. Amen? The miracles did not point to themselves. The miracles are tools, and they are certainly not meant to point to the one who performed the tools, or to perform the miracles, or who used the tools. Amen? Amen. So, what verse 7 says, for unclean spirits, crying out with loud voice, came out of many, and they were that were possessed by them. It was demonic possession. Amen? And many people were taken with palsies. Amen? That were lame and healed, and there was great joy. Now, some people in these parts of the area, we may not always see demonic possession. Let me say something here and stop right here for a minute. But does not mean that people are not walking around with diseased minds. Some people dress up real good for church and they're really, really struggling with demonic issues. Amen? And are not freed in their minds. Amen? Don't think just because you have some form of pulling it together that you're not struggling with certain things. Amen? And we need Jesus to miraculously free us from these things. Amen? Amen. So there was the preached word and there were the miracles. There's nothing wrong with what Philip was preaching. He preached Christ. There was nothing wrong with the miracles that Philip did. Amen? Now there are those who would say that miracles in that dispensation have passed. And I understand the argument. And I would have to say I lean more toward that side in a certain area. But I cannot say for certain that God no longer does miracles. That's not true. I don't believe that's true. Amen? We do see God do miracles. Amen? But what we do see is that God can choose to do whatever he wants. Amen? However, when you have areas where the word of God is readily available and there's access to the word of God and it's written down, amen, I notice that God wants people to believe what he said. Ooh. Believe what he's already said, not just look for signs. In fact, Jesus got upset with some folks who were just looking for signs. If you are the Son of God, prove it. Jesus said, I told you so. Amen? So, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Signs and wonders are the tools in the master's hand, but they are not the master himself. Amen? All right. So, I pray often that God will do some things in my city. I sure enough want to see some miracles done in America. We are living in a time where I'm like, God, just show up and pow, bang, boom, everybody. Just do it, Lord. Just show yourself mighty, God. I'm praying. But I'm also reminded that America has access to the Word of God. Okay? We have Bibles in our phones. Okay? And we still don't read it. We're always looking for God to do something new while we're neglecting the old things he's already said. So, what you have here is Philip did miracles in an area that was already kind of concentrated with signs and wonders. Verse 9 says this, "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city that Philip is preaching in and doing miracles in," okay, "used what? Sorcery. And he bewitched the people," it says, "of Samaria, giving out, boasting in himself," in other words, "that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed." Okay, that's interesting. Thank you, Lord. Because it said a few verses back, we just saw that when Philip came, they all, with one accord, listened to what Philip said. So before that, there was another man by the name of Simon, and everybody was listening to Simon. See what's happening? Okay. "From the least to the greatest," saying, "this man is the great power of God. And to him, and they had great regard because of long time," in other words, for a long time, "he had bewitched him." That word bewitched is perplexed, amazed. Okay? Not necessarily put a spell on you, but I can really get your attention. I really know how to wow you. I amaze you. I'm amazing. I have gifts and abilities. Simon amazed them with sorceries, magic, tricks. Okay? So the people are used to looking for signs and wonders already. They are conditioned to see and believe, but not hear and believe. Okay? But when they believed Philip, when Philip came around, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they believed Philip. They were baptized, both men and women. Hang with me. Then Simon, verse 13 says, himself, watch this word, believed also. What do you mean? And he was baptized. But just because you say you believe, and just because you get in some water, that don't mean Jesus got into you. Okay? Well, wait a minute. It says he even continued with Philip. Wow. See, there will be two different responses to the gospel always. No matter what. Those that hear and believe, those that hear and reject. Okay? But also, in the church, there will be those that believe, and then there are those that hang around those that believe. He continued with Philip. Are you listening? But then the word gives us a little clue here. He continued, he believed, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Huh. So he believes, but what is his belief based on? Interesting. Is it about God or is it about the wow? Listening? All right. John 2, 23, 25 says this. "Now when he," who Jesus, "was in the Passover," in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name." Clarification. When they saw the miracles, which he did. When they saw the wow factor. Oh, I believe. Verse 24 gives us a little bit more clarity. "But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." He knew their hearts. He knew what they were really hanging around him for. Amen? Back to Acts 8, 14. So, Philip is doing this great work. People are getting saved. They are believing. They are being baptized. Even Simon believes and word gets back to the big dogs, the apostles. Philip's an evangelist, but he's not an apostle. Okay? So here comes the big dogs. Verse 14 says, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Peter and John are coming now to check out the report that is coming from the work of Philip. Amen? What is God doing down there? We want to know. We want to see what the deal is. All right, here we go. When they were come down, prayed for them. Wait a minute. That they might receive the Holy Ghost. What? Hold on. I thought when you believe, you receive. Hang with me. For as yet, 16 says, in parentheses, notice, as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to touch on this very lightly because I'm going to save some of this for the next message. But I gotta park here for 2 seconds. First of all, notice there's a parenthesis here. God is doing something in the early church setup. Okay? All right? The Holy Spirit, when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. What's happening here? Is there a contradiction? No. There is no contradiction. There might be a misunderstanding. Or a reading into the text of something that's not there because we don't understand history. What are you saying, Pastor? What's happening here is the same thing that happened with the apostles of John, or the followers of John, disciples of John, and Cornelius' family in the 10th chapter later on, is what we will see. What's happening here is that God, for specific purposes of the problems and issues with the Jews and the Samaritans, withholds the Holy Spirit for a time in a special situation, in a special setup dispensation, for the purposes of making sure that there would not be two different churches arguing with each other. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, what you have here is that normally when I get saved, now, I get the Holy Spirit. What happened then is we had Jews and Samaritans who did not like each other. And now God is saying, go down to Samaria and preach Christ. And they believe. But there is no Holy Spirit for that, like what happened in Pentecost. Why did that happen? Well, because the Jews and Samaritans don't like each other. And what would have ended up happening is that the Jews would have had a church full of the Holy Spirit. Then the Samaritans would have had a church full of the Holy Spirit. And then the Gentiles would have had a church full of the Holy Spirit. And then the Apostolics would have had a church full of the Holy Spirit. And then the Baptists would have had a church. You see what's happening? Okay, so what happens here is God makes sure that when Peter and John come down and they witness that there is believers here and they lay hands and the Holy Spirit comes and they say, wait a minute, the Holy Spirit's falling on them just like he fell on us. And he's doing it in front of us so we can see it. So we would always have to what? Validate the Samaritan church. They're no different than us. God is not playing favorites. Why? Because the Samaritans in history before, what happened a long time ago, is that the Samaritans were the people that got left behind. And they intermarried into all kinds of foolishness. And then there was Judah and Benjamin. That's why they stayed pure. Right? And they didn't get into all that stuff. So what ends up happening here is that the Jews, I hope you hang with me for a minute here, the Jews are separated now. Remember, Cyrus says, come build, you are now able to come rebuild the wall? With Ezra and Nehemiah, and they said, the Samaritan said, can we come too? And they're like, no. Not you people. So there was a rift with the Jews and their cousins, the Samaritans. And God was making sure that in this instance, I want to make sure that you don't bring separation. But here's the problem. What we do is we take a dispensational situation and make it a doctrine of a church. And now you got folks foaming at the mouth, trying to get something that God has already given them when they believe. Do you see this? That's very dangerous. You take 3 scriptures out of Acts and you make a whole church around it. And it contradicts the word of God. Give me Ephesians. Give me Ephesians. Let me just close that. Give me Ephesians 1:13. You got it? Ephesians 1:13.
In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Did that say that you got half the Spirit? Did that say you got a portion of the Spirit? Did that say, by the way, go get somebody else to lay hands on you so you can get the rest of the Spirit? No. And be careful, because you might run into a person that calls himself full of the Spirit, but he might just be Simon. Hang with me. Back to Acts 18. Now, when Simon saw that through laying of hands, When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now, what you got to remember is the area is saturated already with Simon's teaching. The area is already saturated with Simon wowing everybody. The area is already, they're already looking for signs and wonders. So what does God do? He comes in and sends the real deal. Philip says, okay, well, top this and top that. How come you haven't been able to do this? So Simon sees that his business is threatened. See what's happening? Remember, Simon has a business. His business is amazing people, getting money from them, okay? This is where Barnes tells us the word Simon comes from, the word is where we get our word simony, where back in the day, people would pay money to get positions in the church so they can hold influence over people. I want this power. I want this power. I want to amaze people. Come on, hang with me for a minute. Yeah. Get some money. Let me give you some money so you can give me some power. They believe in Simon. They get advice from Simon. Simon has bewitched them, amazed them, tricked them into thinking that he has the power of God. That's why it's important to follow God and not just the people who claim to be of God. Very dangerous, people, when you don't know the word for yourself. You can be tricked. Okay? The enemy is in these people. You're not battling their wisdom. You're battling a demon. I need you to understand that. When you get into the word yourself, you can listen to what they're saying and be like, wait a minute, hold it, but that part, that ain't right. Amen? Hang with me. I'm almost done. I know what's hot. So, give me this power. Lay hands on me. Give me this power. In fact, I got some cash. What is Peter's response? Verse 20. Peter says unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. That's a very straightforward way of saying, go to hell with your money. I can't put it any nicer. That I can't say it any stronger. That's what that means. Peter said, you know, because Peter's a little rough. They sent John, who's nice and sweet, and then they also thought to send Peter. And Peter was like, you know what, you, Simon, you go straight to hell. With your money. That's hardcore. You're on the way to where you don't want to go. Why? You can't buy the gift of God. It's free. It's free. The grace of God. The power of God. It's not something you can buy. Do you think God has something that you think you don't give God something that you have? Does he need something from you? Is God struggling to pay his sunlight bill or something? You going to help God out? I noticed the sun is expensive. Let me give you some cash. In exchange for
A little power. A little ability to amaze. What's really behind this? Let's get going. Verse 21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Ooh. You're not with us, Simon. You may be on your way to hell with your money, and you're not a part of what we're doing. My Lord, it's quiet in here. Simon wants power, but Simon is not broken of his sin. He's not humbled by the fact that God would choose to sacrifice his son to pay for the sins of Simon's life. It's not really about that. Simon is blown away by the display of God's power that's coming through Philip. But he's not overwhelmed by the weight of his sins. He's just amazed. Let me say this. Believing that God can do amazing things and perform miracles just so you can either do them or benefit from them is not saving faith. There are a lot of people who want God's power so they can either do the miracles or benefit from that miracle to change their situation. But it does not mean that you're saved. That's a hard thing to hear. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Woo! Simon, when God sees you, he still sees you. You got a problem. You're not right. There's no covering for you, Simon. The only way to get right with God is through his son. You're not covered with anything. You have no insurance, Simon. You're not in a good place. Amen? If you don't have his son, the son of God, then all you have is your deeds and your sins. You're not right in the sight of God. That's what he's saying. Again, there was nothing wrong with Philip's message. Nothing wrong with his preaching. Nothing wrong with the miracles he did. But there was something wrong with Simon. What's the problem? But wait a minute, Pastor says Simon believed. Did he believe in God? Or did he just believe in God's miracles? Do you believe in God? Or do you just believe in God's miracles? There is a difference. Is Simon a believer or just someone who believes in what God can do? That's hanging around believers. There's a difference. It's a sober message. Have you ever bought a car just because it looked amazing? I'm amazed at how, man, when I get in this car, I will amaze all of Oakland. Because what? It looks good. But if you buy a car that only looks good but it can't take you nowhere, then there's something wrong with the purpose of that car. Amen? The purpose for the car is transportation, not just to look good. The miracles, watch this people, have a purpose, and that is to point you to Jesus. Some people want a religion that only looks good on them. But they don't want Jesus. It's not really about Jesus. This is the problem with Simon. The same problem. That kind of religion is not going anywhere. It won't take you anywhere. You're stuck. He just wanted to look great. His belief in Jesus was not based on the salvation of his soul. Oh my. Not based on repenting. It's not based on the power of getting right before God. It was based on getting something from people. What does he want? What does he want? See, the amazement led to one thing in that area for Simon. Mind control. He can get the people to believe he is the power of God. And a Simon-y person will always make you pay some cash for it. That's what's really coming down to it. So be careful with your TV people, preachers and stuff, because you don't know what they're really behind, what's really behind that.
He wanted everybody to think that he was really somebody great. He wanted the power, but he did not really want Jesus. If your salvation is real, you don't care what everybody else thinks about you. I just want Jesus. I just want to be saved. I don't need to impress you with what I can do. I don't need to impress you with how deep you think I am. I don't care about that. I was deep in sin and God pulled me out. That's what I care about. Happy about the fact that Jesus paid for my sin. Amen? Rescued me from me. Watch this. Hear me, Jamie. Some people are into the miracles of God, but not into God himself. Watch this, Jamie. I want everybody to watch Jamie. Jamie, watch this. Just look at me. What did he do? What did he do? He looked this way. Now watch this. She's... Oh, she did it yesterday. This is my point. Have a seat. This is my point. Simon is not interested in what the miracles point to. He's interested in the miracles themselves. Do you see the point? Huh? There's something wrong when you go after God for what he can do for you and not God himself. And what happens here is there's a lot of people approaching God in either because of the fact that they're not saved or they are immature. Yes. When you grow to a certain age, like yesterday, she messed it up today. But yesterday, what happened is I took my finger and I pointed and she just kept following the finger. She wouldn't move off the finger. I would point over here. She'd be like, why? She's not trained to know that the finger points to something. The miracles point to Jesus. If you come to God just for your miracle and miss the whole point of what the miracle is pointing to, that's not saving faith. There's a lot of people in church who are coming to God just to get something from God. It's a very sobering point. You can build a huge church off of pointing to the miracle and not Jesus. There's a difference, people. There's a lot of deception around that. I sell you a bag of goods, and then you find out that Jesus says, okay, well, hold on. It ain't really about that. Well, John, the fourth chapter. Let's go back there, because I heard something, a spin on this yesterday that kind of messed me up. Watch this. Jesus is tired. Weary. I need some water. He sits down at the well. The woman at the well comes and says, you know, give me this water. Jesus says, sure you can have the water, but first, go get the husband. No, I just want the living water. No. Repentance is the issue first. Lordship is the issue first. Jesus as Lord of your life is the issue first. I don't have a husband. That's right. And the one you with ain't your husband. I perceive you had five husbands. And then she said, well, I perceive you're a prophet. And he's like, no, duh. What ends up happening? She didn't want the natural water after a while. She wants the living water. In fact, the Bible says she left what she came there to get near the well and ran and said, come see a man. Huh? Could he be the Messiah? What does the miracle point to? Jesus. Do you see the point? All right. Almost done. If your salvation is based on what God can add to your life, but not total transformation of your life, then you have no salvation at all. You are not saved. You are not saved. If it's just based on, okay, where do we go from here, God? What's going to happen next? What do I get next? That's not it. There's nothing wrong with miracles. But miracles have to be put in their place. Okay? There was nothing wrong with with Philip's preaching. There was nothing wrong with the miracles he did. There was nothing wrong with the word that he spoke. There was nothing wrong with the seed. There never is. You preach the gospel, then the problem is not necessarily the seed, the problem is the ground.
What do you mean, Pastor? Matthew 13 and 18. Jesus speaks the parable. He talks about several different grounds. Same seed. How is it that they could say that Simon believed? And then Peter, in the next sentence, is talking about, if you don't repent, you're on your way to hell. How is that happening? How is that happening? I'll tell you how it's happening. Jesus later on said, after he gives all the parables or the descriptions of the different grounds, the disciples don't understand the parable, neither do the crowds. And he says, it's given to you to understand. And so they have Jesus Christ there. So he explains to them more clearly what he's saying in the parable. Okay. Verse 18, he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and he catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. I heard the word, don't quite understand it, don't get it, not making sense to me, here comes the enemy, snatch. It's a great service, I didn't really get anything out of it. Okay? Next one. This is he which receiveth the seed by the way of the side. Okay? The wayside. Alright? But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, which means immediately, with joy. Wait a minute. Watch this. Receiveth it. He understands it. He receives the word. And is excited about the word. I'm happy about what I heard. Wow. Jesus died for my sins. Woo, that's great. That's wonderful. What's the problem? Verse 21 says, yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. So he hung with Philip for a minute. It says in Acts, the 8th chapter, he continued with Philip for a minute. Didn't he? He received the word. He understood the word. He endured for a while. But what happened? Tribulation. Trouble came. Or persecution. Tough times. You know, I'm going through something. Or persecution arises. What happened? Because of the word. Wait, I'm not having problems just because I'm having problems. I'm having problems because of the word. What does that mean? When you find out that you will suffer for righteousness' sake because of the word, because you stand on the word and then you don't decide to cave in, but you also notice that that's causing all your friends and family members to leave you. Because you decide to stand on the word, and then you're next to people who suddenly have run out of steam and you don't know what's going on, and now they leave you. They attack you with peer pressure because you're serving the Lord and you count up the cost and you continue, but you've lost all your buddies. They leave you. What's happening? By and by, he is offended. What does that mean, people? Over time, you're enticed into sin because your roots aren't deep. You've been feeding on milk because that's all you can handle, and not meat, and you don't have any real root in you, and the sun comes and scorches. And you wither up. Because the word is demanding that you not only take heed, but it's also demanding that you cut some things loose. It's demanding that you might have to cut some people loose. You might have to cut some folks off. Your old associations could cause you to stumble. Amen? You will stumble over the word because of the people that are in your life that you don't want to get rid of. Oh, help me. If your roots are not deep enough, you'll cave in because of the pressure, and you can't take the heat. I know it's simple. And what happened is, over time, because this walk can be lonely at times because it's just going to be you and Jesus, what happens? Because you're standing on the word, you get to a point where you realize, because my roots aren't deep enough, that this word thing, because of the word, is costing me too much. And what happens? I take offense with God. You see it?
I've been standing on his word, and everybody done left me. That offense word is called scandalous. Scandalous. What does that mean? Scandalizo. Thank you. Scandalizo. It's the where we get the word scandalizing your good name. Because your associations that you're with, they begin to tear down your good name. Why? Not because of what they're doing, because of what you do around them. And eventually, I can't do nothing because God don't want me to do nothing. I can't have this. I can't have that. I got to leave that. I got to leave him. I got to leave her. I can't hang out. Oh, come on. They might invite me no more. I mean, I thought that this salvation thing was going to be a little bit more comfortable. But it's costing you. Huh? That's what Jesus said it with. Mm-hmm. And here we go with Simon. Verse 22. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. What's happening? Simon does not want to let go of his business plan. He's got the cares of the world. The deceitfulness of riches. I'm going to attain this if I get that power. I will keep the influence of people. I will have my control over their minds. They will actually, it's really a form of blasphemy. It's really a form of making yourself God. Mm-hmm. I want to amaze you by what I can do so you'll pay attention to me, so that you will heed my word and not the word of God. You see what's happening? That's what ended up happening. 23. But he that receiveth the seed into the ground, the good ground, is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some sixty, and some 30. The character of God grows in you. Nothing wrong with the seed. The question is what's happening with the ground? What did you come to Jesus for, really? Acts 8:22. Almost done. So Peter says to Simon, repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart, wow, the thing that came from your heart, may be forgiven thee. The intention of your, not just what you want to do, the reason why you want to do it. Huh? For I perceive, what do you say? That thou art in the gall, in the depth of bitterness. And here's the interesting word, in the bond of iniquity. That word bond means to bind something together, to band, to the bond of the ligaments which the members of the human body are united together and cannot be separated. Wow. You are united with your iniquity in some ways that you just don't even understand. You can't even break. See, bind is the opposite of loose. So you are tied to yourself, Simon, and your agenda. And you can't break free of yourself. You have no power to change your sinful agenda. You are infused with your own desires, and you have no desires from God. Your desire to do evil is in your joints, in your ligaments. You're not free of yourself. That's what Peter is saying. You're in a bond. You're tied up in your own self. Wow. Now, Peter is not cursing Simon. He's notifying Simon of his spiritual position. He's making him aware that if he does not repent, he's going straight to hell. This is a heavy word, people. Simon comes to church. Yes, he does. There are people that may even be, as small as this church is, there are people that are in this church who may not necessarily want God just for God.
They may just want an upgrade on what you're already doing. It's not right. Yeah. Then answered Simon and said, after this rebuke, pray ye to the Lord for me. Peter, huh? Wait a minute. When my son needs something from me, he doesn't have to go to Peter to get it. Children of God can go to their father on their own. Here's a very good indication that Simon is not the real deal. Well, why don't you pray for me? Pray what? That none of these things that you have spoken will come upon me. Don't pray that I would repent. Just pray that I don't have any consequences. I'm sorry I got busted, but I ain't gonna change. Okay, it's me. You figured out I'm really not a good deacon. But I don't plan to change nothing. Why don't you pray to God for me? Because I can't reach him. I have no connection with him. You see that? Somebody pray for me. Go to God for yourself. Simon was not saved. He was amazed by God's power, but not in relationship with God. He's under the wrath of God while he's sitting there in church being amazed. Now, here's the question. And we end with this because it's hot. Ooh. Give me energy, Lord. Are we amazed by God or are we in relationship with God? When the Holy Spirit moves in a service and we get up and start dancing because Sister Jackson got happy, and we pick them up and put them down real fast to a fast beat, or so, Sister So-and-so or Brother So got up and sang a song and the whole church went in. Girl, church was incredible. It was amazing. Girl, we just in. I ain't had church like that in a long time. It was amazing. I mean, the power of God was really moving in the service. Pastor Johnson got up and he preached a mighty, that man preached a word. And it was amazing. I was amazed. We had an amazing service. However, service was amazing, but there's no change in me. No response. No repentance. I showed up next Sunday the exact way, same way that I left last Sunday. Even though I'm amazed. I come back next Sunday to see what kind of new show God is going to do this Sunday. Because God is amazing. You see the problem? Nothing wrong with the signs and wonders. Nothing wrong with praying for miracles. In fact, I got a praise report. I talked to Red this week. She called me. She said that the surgery was successful. And then they went in to try to see if they needed to give him chemo. And they said, there's no need for chemo because it didn't spread. Do we pray for signs and wonders? Yes! We do. Do we expect God to do miracles? Do I expect a good report when I pray? Yes! God is not done doing things, people. Here's the question. But who does the miracle point to? Who does the miracle point to? I need prayer. Yes, and then after that, after we're done with our situation, do we need God? Yes, God answers prayer. Yes, Yes, people get saved and hear the word. But here's the question. Do we want God or do we want just his things? It's the same message over and over again being preached to the church. I don't know why, but this is where it's lining up. And the reason why is because there are people that will sell you stuff and not point you to God. My dad wrote a song. He said, I have a friend indeed, one who supplies my every need. Follow me, I'll show you the way to turn your darkness into day. And then he wrote the vampire part. He said, follow me, follow me, follow me. And then he goes, I point you to Jesus. I point you to Jesus. Follow me as I follow Christ. Or don't follow me at all. Because I might be Simon. You getting it? Is the miracle about the miracle itself? Is it about God's power without God's kingdom rule? Do we believe that God is all powerful in our situation, but do not desire any of his power in our decisions? In our attitude? In my habits? In my tongue? In my lifestyle? In my home and how I live? Do I just want God to change stuff without changing me? That's pretty much what Simon was saying. Give me some power so I can wow people, so I can do business as usual. We got to keep this thing going because Philip is threatening my life here. My livelihood is threatened. Philip's coming in here, he's doing some stuff. If I can get a little bit of that, then I can continue as Simon with more power. I came to church for a husband. I came to church for a new job. I came to church because I don't like my job. I don't like my boss. I want God to do something about that. Amen, Brother David. David's like, oh, okay. Why didn't Simon come and want to pay for the power to live right? Listen, Peter, these miracles that you and John are doing are top-notch, man. They're really great, and I really want to get in that. But I really need power to keep my mind off of these women here. No, he didn't do that. I need power to stop, you know, talking about people. You call me Pastor Peter after service, I'm going to tell you everybody's business. Your ministerial staff, I'm going to tell all that stuff too. And if I ain't right, I'll make it up. Help me. I will give you money to help me to learn how to forgive people. Why didn't Simon ask for that? Been mad at folks for 20 years. Can't talk to them. I need supernatural power to change me. Why didn't Simon drive up with his 401k and say, I need help with me? Tell you why. Because it was never about salvation. It was never about repentance. It was never about your sin being forgiven. It was about the power of influence, the power to continue as you already are. Just add God to it. Simon was willing to do whatever he had to do to stay in business. Business. I think I'm done.
Thanks for listening. We hope our transforming moment will help you through the endeavors of your day-to-day Christian life and leave you encouraged and equipped for the challenges you'll face in this fallen world. Transforming Love Christian Center Worship Services meet Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Our address is 410 14th Street in Oakland, California, and you can reach us by dialing 510-692-9852. If you would like to hear this or any of our full-length sermons, please visit our website at transforminglovecc.org, on Facebook using the keyword TLC2, or at sermonaudio.com, keyword TLCC.